See.
Yes, good morning. It is KBOO Portland, 1 minute before 10 o'clock here on your Thursday. Coming up, we've got Between the Covers in about 1 hour at 11 o'clock. Today, the show welcomes Amy S. Foster, author of The Rift Uprising. Tune in to hear her thoughts about military deception, treatment of immigrants, and the bewildering new adult genre popping up in bookstores. Also today, the film show at 11:30. But up next, we've got Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. Roots Action co-founder Norman Solomon says the phony blame Putin movement is being fostered by the Clinton Democrats. That is coming right up. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. A reminder that all new and increased gifts to KBOO are matched one-to-one through the end of the year, thanks to the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
Give to KBOO today during our end-of-year match. Starting November 1st and wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift today or become a member, and your membership will be doubled to support independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. Open weekends and daily December 17th through December 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute, offering handmade gifts created by artisans from the Pacific Northwest, and is located in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
Today on Flashpoints, an extended dialogue with media activist and Roots Action co-founder Norman Solomon. We'll talk about the phony blame Putin movement being led by the Democratic Party, and we'll be talking about getting ready to oppose Donald Trump. Also, we'll feature the latest installment of the Electronic Intifada with Nora Barrows-Friedman. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein, and we're going to spend the next half hour with a good friend of, a good friend of people who love the truth in media and who have been trying, as our guest Norman Solomon has for so many years, in many ways to hold the powers that be accountable. Norman Solomon, welcome back to Flashpoints. It is good to have you with us. These are very difficult times.
Definitely. Well, I'm so glad to be with you, Dennis. And I loved how you said that in different ways, in many ways, because that's a challenge for us individually and collectively.
All right. Say a little bit about your background. I sort of, as they say, want people to know where you're coming from. And if I've got it right, you sort of came in the activist door.
I did, although that was not my first ambition. That was to be a Major League Baseball player and a lawyer. But I was born in the early 50s, and the first time I thought about going on a picket line was in 1966. I lived in Maryland, and there were still segregated apartment buildings in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and so I learned about a picket line. Went there, and it's maybe not a natural feeling to be protesting when you've grown up in white bread middle America, but I got acclimated.
And how I met you as an activist in New York State working for the Fellowship of Reconciliation, you were also beginning to write columns. You also wrote books and got deeply engaged in the anti-nuclear movement, where I believe you were arrested multiple times in this country and other countries.
Well, blockading nuclear weapons trains as well as other nonviolent actions to try to shut down nuclear power plants as well.
And how did you become a media columnist?
Well, journalism became a lot of my interest and then professional ambition as I was getting out of high school. And so writing and reporting came to seem natural, and so did protesting the horrific Vietnam War in the late 60s and early 70s. In our culture, I think then as now in the United States, there's this tacit, if not prohibition, at least looking askance at the concept of activism and journalism being unified. And so I remember when Chinese reporters before Tiananmen Square in the 80s were protesting against suppression of the press in China, the U.S. journalists would cheer that on, but wouldn't dream of protesting themselves to affirm the rights of freedom of the press or human rights. And I think that's a juxtaposition that for me has not made sense. As with so many other people, including you, Dennis Bernstein, I think the reality is that if you're a journalist, you are fighting to learn and ventilate and expose truth, that that goes hand in hand with fighting for human rights, fighting for a society where life is treasured instead of destroyed.
All right, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We are speaking with Norman Solomon. Norman Solomon is co-founder of the online activist group RootsAction.org. His books include War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. And Norman, I want to sort of bring you right into the head-on with the political struggle now. Before we get into strategy, let me ask you to assess where you think we are now, or what you see as the frontline dangers given the current situation. We've seen a lot now about where this is going.
Really, on the front line and the mainline dangers, we're facing the most right-wing administration out of the federal government in any of our lifetimes, no matter how old we are. And the consolidation of power, not just that it's Republican White House coming in and Congress as well, but how extreme it is. And this merger of bogus ultra right-wing populism with corporatism, with, for the most part, great militarism and support for the military-industrial complex, and political repression and contempt for basic civil liberties as well as human rights, that's a toxic mix that requires, I think, whatever we're going to call ourselves in opposition. And there are a lot of different favorite terms, but liberal, progressive, left-wing, libertarian, the names matter less than taking a firm position, not just in what we say over the dining room table, but what we do, which is most important. And that is activism, organizing, building institutions, strengthening the ones that exist, like the radio station people are listening to, as well as building institutions that are too weak to fight back against this right-wing corporate militarist onslaught, which is embodied now in what's coming up as the Trump administration. So we're in very, very deep peril. Ecologically, we've got a climate denier moving into the White House. We've got, in terms of civil liberties and human rights and civil rights, a racist moving into the White House with a racist base that he has cultivated and he continues to excite, and extreme militarism. So we have enormous work to do. And I think we need a broad, deep, and wide united popular front without caving in to the lowest common denominator, which is what's going to come from the top of the Democratic Party, unfortunately.
All right. I want to tap your media skills now, which are many and strong. You open up your most recent piece. I think it's up at a bunch of places. I grabbed this off Consortium News. I think it's up at Common Dreams as well. It's called here, The Left's Risk in Blaming Russia. And you open up the piece with this comment from Donna Brazile at the DNC. And she is essentially raging about how the Russians threw the election. And essentially, that's why Hillary Clinton didn't win. And you quote her saying, "By now, Americans know beyond any reasonable doubt that the Russian government orchestrated a series of cyber attacks on political campaigns and organizations over the past 2 years and used stolen information to influence the presidential campaign and congressional races." She goes on to say, "The integrity of our elections is too important to Congress to refuse to take these attacks seriously. What's wrong with that statement?
Well, what's wrong with it is it implies or directly states that the problem with our last election was Russian interference. And as has been documented at The Intercept and elsewhere, it's far from clear to whatever extent the interference took place from Russia. But even if we assume that the CIA has a great credible record of honesty and integrity as a source of information to the public, and that it is a slam dunk, so to speak, a phrase used to tell us there are WMDs in Iraq more than a dozen years ago from the CIA, still, if we give all that benefits of doubt, let's be real about this. I mean, I'm very concerned that so many progressives, in their understandable concern, deep concern,
fear,
horror that Trump is going to be president, they're somehow conflating what has occurred with a Russian menace. And if we want to move into a new Cold War that could escalate into a military confrontation in Europe with Russia and hair trigger the aiming of nuclear weapons in both directions, if we want to excite and push forward a modern version of a McCarthy era, then let's go ahead and demonize Putin. Let's forget that it was the United States that expanded NATO despite the promises coming from the first President Bush and President Bill Clinton. If we want to just obviate and obscure history and demonize Putin and the Kremlin in this time, in late 2016 and going into 2017, then we're going to have a very dangerous political climate made worse by progressives. And we're getting enormous tendency, because people are understandably so upset about Trump, that they're combining in their own minds Putin and Trump. And the fact is that, in my opinion, I think this is a fair thing to say, as horrific as Trump's positions are, even a broken clock is right twice every 24 hours. And in addition to his stance against the TPP, one of the reasons that so much of the Democratic and even some of the Republican Party establishments are so concerned and upset and angry and denouncing Trump is that he has departed from the hostility to Russia.
And one of the victims in this move to blame the Russians also includes the independent press, right?
Oh, absolutely.
This has become a witch hunt, you know, in terms of the blame game here.
At the RootsAction.org site, we've had a petition which challenges the Washington Post's McCarthyite front page story a couple of weeks back, where it, without any sort of real journalism, endorses a 200 website named list from a shadowy group whose identity we don't even know, saying that they are flunkies and, quote, useful idiots for the Kremlin. Now, what does this sound like? You know, if you know the history of the McCarthy era, you know that this is how it functioned and was a way to suppress dissent. And yet we have here one of the purportedly liberal papers, which actually has somewhat of a neocon foreign policy position on the front page and the editorial page, stoking this kind of McCarthyism. And I think what a lot of groups have not recognized, including, for instance, Move On, as they have stoked this.
They've jumped right on.
Right on, blame Putin, is that they think they're kind of picking low-hanging political fruit. It's a way to bash Trump and get more strength for the Democrats against them and delegitimize his election and so forth. But when you ride that tiger of McCarthyism and militarism and souping up a new Cold War, that is a tiger that's not only going to come back and bite you, but actually quite likely is going to devour you if you believe in diplomacy instead of warfare, if you believe in civil liberties instead of suppression and witch hunting against dissenters. It's time to really, I think, and part of this was propelled by these illusory hopes about the Electoral College on the 19th of December, but now it's time to recognize that progressives, rather than joining in the chorus to demonize the Kremlin and Putin and so forth. We should be organizing against that. And at RootsAction.org, we're organizing against it. Some groups definitely are. What's at stake? What's at stake is whether we're going to have continuous momentum towards military confrontation with a power that has thousands of nuclear weapons pointed at the U.S. and vice versa. What's at stake is the entire political climate in the U.S. vis-a-vis foreign policy, militarism, war, and dissent. And what I started to sort of allude to is that Trump has sounded a note of let's find common ground with Russia. And when it comes to ending the horrible slaughter in Syria, for instance, other diplomatic solutions, and avoiding confrontation that could turn military and horrific in Europe, for instance, this is an opportunity to say, let's have detente. And by hitching itself to the star of congressional leadership of the Democratic Party, all too many progressives have assumed that, oh, we're going to make Trump look bad, so therefore we'll cheerlead on when Nancy Pelosi and others say, oh, it's the Russians who are causing it all. And that's a very dangerous bargain to make. Another way to put it, Dennis, I think, is that, yes, we need a broad, deep, united popular front against Trump. At the same time, we need to not have our dependency on the line of the top of the Democratic Party, because they are militarists. I mean, that's why Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and the top of the Democratic Party leaders are so, in part, upset with Trump foreign policy, because they had, as Hillary Clinton did, their heart set on confrontation with Russia. Hillary Clinton, very much more than Obama, was into that mode. She was a de facto neocon in that kind of foreign policy. And a lot of people like myself, when I was a Bernie Sanders delegate to the National Convention this year, a lot of people who are Bernie supporters haven't realized that by jumping on the bandwagon that is being led by these mainline establishment Democratic Party leaders, we are strengthening the Clinton wing of the party, because they would like nothing more than to change the subject about what happened in the last election and just say it's Russia's fault. It wasn't the Wall Street alliance between Hillary Clinton in the election and for years before. It wasn't the speeches she gave for hundreds of thousands of